I'm speaking with Mrs. Ellen Carlson. This is Randy Jacobs. The date is October 26, 94, and this interview is taking place in Smithers. Ellen, can you tell me what you remember about the place where you were born?
I was born in a little town in Saskatchewan, and it was very cold in the wintertime. We had beautiful summer, it's very hot. We had a wonderful time. We walked a mile and a half to school. Wintertime, we were off and driven to school. And there were two other families that went together. They were a little closer to school, but we sort of gathered each other as we went along. And it was a wonderful time of our life, even if we didn't think so then. Never do when you're children. But it was hard times, too, because we were there during the very bad winds of death storms on the prairie. It was very hard on everyone, farmers especially. But they all managed to live through it. And I, as I finished my high school, I decided I wanted to be a nurse, so I applied to different places in Saskatchewan, and they all had waiting lists. And then I finally applied to St. Joseph's in Victoria, and they accepted me right away. So in January of 1937, first time I'd ever been away by myself, and took the train to Vancouver, and then the boat across to Victoria, and that's where I began my training.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your nursing training, what it was like?
Well, I guess it was hard, but we knew we had to do it if we wanted to be a nurse. So we had good times too. And a lot of it, we did work the 12 hours from 7 to 7, and had time off for studies in the afternoon, and then or sometimes in the morning you had the time off. And in the evening, after we got off duty, you had classes. We were never just the day of just studies. It was either taking classes on our time off or in the evening when we got off duty. But at night you worked right straight through the 12 hours. If you got a chance, you did have a chance to go and sleep for an hour or so, and that was right in the hospital. So you'd be there if they needed you back on the ward. But it was long, hard work, but we were young and we enjoyed our work. And the sisters were very good to us. Some of them were very exacting, but I guess that had to be. Some of them that were like that were some of the best nurses, too. One of the ones that I didn't get along very well with. I spent more time training under her than I did anybody, but she had always said that she was always hard on anybody she thought would become a nurse, so I kind of appreciated that. And when I did graduate, she was very nice to me. I think, too, that she probably had a hard time in her life, so maybe she realized that it was not all easy.
Did you receive any kind of pay when you were in training?
Yes, it wasn't very much, but we didn't receive anything for the first three months, because that was our probation period. And as it happened, when I went in training, before I finished my probation period, I took sick, and so I was in the hospital for quite a while, so I didn't get my cap along with the rest of the girls, and I couldn't go back to work right away, so I had to start over again in the September class. That's why I was a little longer in training, and then I was able to carry on. And there was quite a few of the other girls. Well, all of us who graduated in the one class, actually, it was only one graduation ceremony in a year, and that was in June. No, May. In May. And the January class and September classes all graduated together, except that the January class got their graduation pin, and the others had to give theirs back and continue until September, and then they got them. But the sisters were very good too, so that's a real kind of expected us to honor the name of the hospital.
So, can you tell me a little bit about your decision to come to the Bulkley Valley to nurse?
Well, when I graduated, I hadn't really made up my mind what I was going to do. So, the Sister Superior, Sister Mary Gregory of St. Joseph's, asked me what I was going to do, and I said, well, I hadn't decided. So she said, how would you like to go to Smithers? And I said, well, where is it? So I said, oh, I'll go for a year. And so they sent me up here, and that was in October 1940. Here I am still.
So you moved up here not knowing anyone here?
I didn't know anyone here. Well, I shouldn't say that. There was one nurse here that I knew, and that was, she was Objetta Irvine at that time. She married our doc, so she was working at the hospital when I came here. Outside that, I didn't know anyone.
Can you tell me a little bit about what hospital care was like at the time that you came here?
Well, Actually, we started work, if you were on day duty, you started work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And at that time, there were three of us as nurses, and two of us worked days. So one would work maybe till 10 and go off to 1:30. And then the other one would go off at 1:30 and come back at 4:30. And then you were both on duty and to patients to give them their evening care. And then the night nurse came on and she worked from 7 to 7 with no breaks. And then we did everything for the patient. And at that time, of course, if they had surgery, they were in bed for several days. And maternity patients were in bed for about 10 days before they were allowed in. And we didn't have to sweep the floors, but we did carry the meal tray. There was a dumb waiter in the hospital that brought the trays to the floor from the kitchen, and we just carried some there to the patients. So we had to take them back again. So we did a lot of the work besides bathing and any medications or anything they needed. And for maternity, when we looked after the babies, we had to put a mask and a gown on, and of course, to take the babies out to the mother. And then, of course, if you had to go look after somebody else, you had to take them off and to make sure they stayed in the nursery so that you didn't contaminate the baby and bring any unnecessary infections to them.
So on a night shift, what would your duties be?
Well, you had to make rounds every so often, make sure everybody was sleeping. And if they needed anything during the night, then some patients needed medications during the night, and some needed to look again. If they were surgical patients, you had to check them, make sure that everything was still going all right. And you took their nature in the morning. You had to take out wash water to all of them and take all their temperatures and all their vitals. Kind of a busy morning to try and get around the three floors and do everybody. You had to have children on the bottom floor, and medical and surgical on the second, and maternity on the third. So kept it going. We had no elevator, and we had no phone at night. If you needed a doctor at night, you had to go down and get the janitor up and send him off to rouse the doctor.
Can you tell me why you didn't have a phone at night?
Well, it was the telephone exchange was cut off at night. There was no telephone operator at night. There just wasn't any.
So if you needed a doctor, you had to send somebody to go get him?
Yeah, send a janitor. He was always happy to go, like a little guy, and he used to run off and get the doctor for him. Sometimes the doctor would be there if he expected something particularly to happen, but as a rule, we had to send for him. It didn't always occur. We didn't have to do it too often, but there were the times when we had to have him there. Another duty that we had was to make sure that the kitchen stove was kept going at night, and if it got low, we had to keep that stoked and make sure that the porridge was cooking for the breakfast in the morning. And sometimes that was a little difficult because when you have a busy hospital, it's not always easy to run off down to the kitchen to do anything down there, because our front door was never locked, so anybody could come in at any time. Matter of fact, I was surprised one time I was down in the kitchen and a maternity patient arrived, and I was quite surprised to see her, so I had to make sure I had to get back up with her. And another thing we had to do was make sure the candles were kept burning in the chapel. So it was a lot of duties for the night nurse to do when she was there by herself and make sure her patients were well looked after.
Can you tell me a little bit about how people got to hospital when you were nursing?
People around town, I think, were able to take the taxi as a rule, but a lot of people from out of town came in, well, in the summertime, I guess they came in cars, but in the wintertime, a lot of them came by sleigh with a team of horses. We had one patient brought in that I remember from Houston with a team of horses and a sleigh. I guess some of them were probably brought in by horse and buggy, but there were a few cars around, and the majority of the people around town did have the privilege of having a taxi. There were a few cars around, but there were a lot of the young people had left and gone to the war, so there weren't too many younger people around either.
So this was in early 1940s?
Yeah, although because it was October 40, I came. It was in 41, more or less, from then on.
Can you tell me about your experiences with the Sisters of St. Anne?
Actually, the sisters were very good to us up here. They helped out when they could. We had a superior, and we had one nursing sister. Actually, superior was a nursing sister too, and she used to give the anesthetics a lot of the time because we only had two doctors when I first came here. And and the nursing sister did help out at times, but the night nurse, of course, never got any help from anybody. but they were good to us, and the one year that we put that the town had a Klondike night was put on by the Red Cross to raise money. And the sisters helped all three of us nurses dress up and take part in the Klondike, and they took over the hospital for the evening while we went to that. We had to be sure to be home by midnight, but they were quite happy to get us dressed up and off to this party, because you had to all dress up in different apparel. And we had a wonderful time. Of course, the doctors were quite surprised the next day when the sisters asked them what they thought of their three nurses, because they didn't even know we were there. They didn't even recognize us. I remember Dr. Green saying he almost kicked us out of the hall because we were always in the way. But he didn't even know who we were. So that, you know, they were good to us, and we quite enjoyed working with them, and it was a fun time. We had hard times too, but then who doesn't? You expect that, I guess. And when I first came here, we worked one whole month of nights. That's a long time to be on nights, and then you had 2 months off. It seemed like a long time at the time, but when you're young, I guess you can take those things a little better than when you're older. I don't think I can do it.
So you worked full-time from 1940 to 1944,
mm-hmm.
and you stayed in the hospital. That was your residence?
Yeah, we stayed in the hospital on the maternity floor. There were two rooms, I guess. Yeah, two rooms that were set aside for the nurses.
And then from 1944, when you were married, you worked casual and on-call?
Just casual and on-call.
Yeah.
Until about 48, I guess. Then I would go on special patients whenever they needed somebody special. But after 52, I didn't work again until about 59, not in nursing at least. And then I just worked, I guess, it was just a few months, really. And then I went into, took a course in medical records and started that up for the sisters.
So they needed to have a medical records department in the hospital to be accredited?
Yeah, yes, to be accredited, they needed a medical record department. Sperry asked me if I would like to do it for them, so I accepted, and they sent me to St. Joseph's in Victoria, and worked in their department for a while, and then I came back and set one up for here. And then I took a course in typing at night school, and took a correspondence course in medical records, and from then on, at first I was in there by myself, and I got busy enough that I had to have a typist as well, so I did the records and she did the typing. Now it's a much bigger department, more computerized, I guess.
So you stayed in medical records until when?
1981. That's when I retired.
So you were there when they changed from having the hospital under the administration of the Sisters of St. Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that transition, what it was like?
Well, it's kind of hard to say very much about that, because being in medical records is a little different to being working on the floors. It was different working under them and under the present situation than it was under the sisters. I don't know exactly how to explain that, because they're just a different way of running things, I guess. Maybe. You know, there's nothing wrong with the way they're doing it now. It's probably more business-like than it was then. At that time, it was more like a family, I guess, and now it's not so much that way.
Looking back on your nursing career and your time in medical records, are there any specific circumstances or things that come to mind about when you were there that you'd like to talk about?
Well, we had one patient that was brought in from Houston, and that was early in 1941. And he'd had his leg cut off, the lower part of his leg cut in the sawmill. They brought him in by sleigh, tied a rope around his leg to make sure that he didn't hemorrhage too much. He was then brought in, and the doctors worked on it, and several days after he'd been in, one of the doctor said to me, I was on night duty, said, when you do his dressing tonight, just check, see if he's got gas gangrene. So I said, well, what's that like? Because I had never run across it before. So So he said, well, when you lift his leg, if it feels like air bubbles under his skin, then he's got gas gangrene. So I said, okay. So I did his dressing, I lifted his leg, and I said, oh, there he is. There it is. So I phoned him, and he and the other doctor came up right away, and they worked on his leg and gave him a gas gangrene serum. And from then on, he was sort of isolated, and anybody that looked after him was not allowed near any surgical patients or any maternity patients. So he was, and he was in there for quite a while. I think that must have happened just before Christmas, because he was in there at Christmas time, because he was, remember him singing Christmas carol. And finally they had to, the gas gangrene subsided, but they had to amputate it, the rest of his leg up as far as his knee, and they did a very good job of that. And he was in there for quite a few months, but he was able to get around quite well with a prosthesis. He was a very happy-go-lucky sort of a chap. And he didn't speak too much English when he first came in. He was a Dutch chap. But he had learned, because any time you said anything, if he didn't understand what the word meant, he'd make you stop and explain it to him. So he learned quite a bit of English while he was in the hospital. He was a very delightful patient. And I think he eventually moved south. And I did hear that he had been riding a bike afterwards, so he did very well. I don't know. His wife had come into the hospital at the same time and had a baby boy. It was kind of nice. Of course, he wasn't able to go and see her right away because he was in isolation. So it was kind of a busy time because I kind of had to look after him. And the night that developed, I also had another patient dying with cancer, so I was sort of running back between two. Thank heavens there wasn't too many other patients in the hospital at that time. But it was a very busy night.
And if you could summarize now your time in the Bulkley Valley, your nursing career, and your time in medical records, looking back on that, if you could summarize it into a few words, what would you use?
I don't know exactly how to put that. Well, it was a good time in my life, actually, and I really enjoyed the whole experience of nursing and medical records. I didn't like medical records when I first went into it, because nursing had been my dream, and but I found that the hours were better for my family, so I resigned myself to that. And I did get to really enjoy the medical record department, and I almost felt that it was kind of my baby because I had started it, and I hated to give it up. But I think there are very competent people who have taken it over, so it's very good.
Okay, thank you very much.